Well, even if you've ever gotten to see the UW band, whether in concert or on the field, you know what a treat it is. Hi, Larry Mueller here. Really pleased to have Professor Mike LaCrone with us today to talk about the upcoming varsity band concert. He's been director of the UW Marching Band since 1969, and he always has so many great stories to share. Mike LaCrone, great to see you again.
You too. It's always fun to be here.
How many times have you heard this song?
You know, I don't even want to think. We figured it up a few years. It's well, in a year's time, we hear it well over 2,000 times. Well over 2,000 in a year's time. And that's just conservative. That's not, you know, maybe how many times we rehearsed it just when we do it in performance.
Well, you know, I bet they could do it. The band could almost, they could do it in their sleep.
Well, you know, there's an interesting, we were up in Minneapolis one year and at a football game, which we won, and they didn't want us to do the fifth quarter. So they very cleverly turned the lights out, but they didn't figure the fact we could play almost every we know all these students. We didn't have to need any lights to play. We could keep playing for another half hour.
Oh, well, that's a great story. Well, I tell you, one of the things that I enjoy every year is the band concert. It's coming up, and the band itself, when was it, 127 years old?
The band will be 140 years old in a couple years. 140 years old in a couple years.
Wow.
We
weren't here for the start.
No, regardless of what people think, I was not here at the beginning.
I heard there was like a dozen or so people. Yeah.
I think the first year there were like nine, and it was very sort of haphazard, as many of them. It was 1885, and it was in those years. There were not a lot of organization to it, and it took quite a while until they had a regular director who was a faculty member of the School of Music faculty. It was a long time. It was volunteers. One year it was a chemistry professor who happened to like music. So it's had a peculiar history, and it was a part of the ROTC, of course, at one point, which is most land-grant universities. That's where the bands came from.
Is that right? Yeah. I didn't know that.
Almost all of the land-grant universities, their bands got started as a part of the ROTC program. So they had groups to play for the reviews and all the things that the military did during land as a part of the land grant.
Yeah. And now, of course, you've been here for so long, but the guy who was here ahead of you was also here for
a long time. Ray Dvorak, 34 years. Wonderful man. Just a wonderful guy. He was great mentor to me when I first came, and I've just never forgotten the help that he got me to get started, get my feet on the ground, so to speak.
Yeah, and you've been since 69, 40...
44 years.
4 years.
Holy But who's counting?
Well, and what is really amazing to me is how, you know, you've kept, I mean, you kept yourself young. I mean, you're active. The band concert itself, I mean, it's just amazing the things that you do, personally do during that concert.
Well, I try to have as much fun as the kids do during the course of that. And I tell them, I say, if you play well, I'll have fun. And we try to do a lot of silly things that make people think that this is a fun evening. We don't want to just sit there and play in a staid concert presentation.
No.
We keep pretty active.
Oh, absolutely. Well, I want to go back a little bit in history because you studied music at Butler
University
in Indiana,
right?
And how'd you become so passionate about marching bands?
Well, my dad was a high school band director.
Oh, okay.
But he was not passionate about marching band. He was a very serious musician and did the marching band sort of out of necessity. It was something that he did, but he did it very well, and he felt if you're going to do something, do it well. When I went to Butler University, they had a really excellent marching band program there, which I got involved with quite naturally, and the man there sort of, that was his name was Charles Hensey. He gave me the passion, I guess, for it. He was he was obsessed with marching band, so to speak, and it rubbed off a little bit on me, and I succeeded him ultimately as the director of the Butler band after a period of time. So I think that's where the passion came from, but I get a big kick creative aspect of it. So many times you sit in a band and you play somebody else's music and you try to make an interpretation, but with the marching band and with this concert, we get to be totally creative. We start from a blank slate and put it all together, and that's really fun. I think it's a great opportunity.
It is a real production. It is a beautiful show. I mean, it is so much fun.
Well, yeah, it's become a monster. We started out very simply, just trying to add a few lights here, and now it is a huge production. I mean, we bring two or three semis full of equipment in to do the what I would call the lighting and the special effects that we have.
Yeah, and fireworks.
Oh, a lot of pyro, yeah.
Oh, man. Mike LaCrone, our guest today, director of the UW Marching Band. We're talking with him today about the band and about the concert that's coming up, actually, Thursday through Saturday. It's April 18th through the 20th.
That's right.
At the Kohl Center in Madison, and I hope you have a chance to see it. It's well worth seeing. I've been to many, many of them and enjoyed it every single time. You may have played in the band, or maybe you've had some great experiences involving the band, and if you'd like to join in with a question or comment, I hope you'll do that at 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. You can email us at talk@wpr.org. Are you an alum of the band? What years and what instrument maybe did you play? What's your favorite memory? I know it's a big part of the experience for Badger fans, certainly for me, I bet for you too. What's your best memory of seeing the band perform? Maybe a favorite song that the band plays? Give us a call, 1-800-642-1234, or you can email us at talk@wpr.org, and we'd certainly love to hear from you. Well, tell us a little bit about this year's concert. You've got some wonderful people coming in, as always.
We do. We have a wonderful tuba player, you know, yeah. And I tease the tuba players all the time. I won't tease this guy because he's really good, but his name is Nat McIntosh, and actually he's from Madison originally. He founded a group called the Youngblood Brass Band, which a lot of the younger people know is a pretty active group. And he does marvelous things on tuba. I mean, when you said he's not just a technician, he does a thing with euphonics where he creates almost a language. You can hear the tuba do sounds that you just don't expect. And I know the first time I heard him play, my jaw just kind of dropped. Like, this is not what you should be doing. So he's gonna do a couple numbers with us, and then we're gonna team him up with one of our alumni, a guy. I was just gonna call him a kid, but he's not anymore. Grant Manhart, who was again a Madison kid, who went on to play with a Buddy Rich band, and now has a great. History of what he's done music, and they're going to do a duet together, and then we have a magnificent soloist, Ariana Douglas, and she's going to do a Puccini aria with us from Gianni Schicchi, the O mio Babbino Caro, the famous opera or a famous aria, and she's a student at Madison, just a magnificent voice. So we've got some. You're going to hear the gamut from opera to Rolling Stones if you
come back. Yeah, you're doing a retrospective on the Rolling Stones.
That's right. It's their 50th anniversary. We had to recognize that, and it's some fun. There are fun tunes to play.
Oh man. Our guest, Michael LaCrone, director of the UW Marching Band, Varsity Band, Bill and Eau Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Thanks for having me. I think the band is just fabulous. I saw you guys perform on television. I haven't had the honor of seeing you live in person, but here's my great little band story. Our first band teacher from grade school, I went all the way through grade school, fifth grade to junior high. So in junior high school, I'm the smallest guy on the drum line, and she stuck me with the bass drum. And I always thought that was a punishment. So that way it gets better. So years later, I go back to visit with her. Matter of fact, I'll just do a shout-out to her, Margene Pappas. She was the director for Oswego High School. And they got invited to march in like the Rose Bowl parade. So she was a great teacher. But anyway, I went years. I went back to say hi, and we went out to dinner. And I asked her about it. I said, "Margene, God, you really must have hated me in junior high." She said, "Why is that?" She said, "Well, because you stuck the littlest guy with the bass drum." And she said, "Oh my God, you thought that was a punishment?" She said, "Bill, you were the only one that could keep time." and I almost started crying at the table, because that's the ultimate compliment for a drummer. So, and I still play to this day. I don't I don't march or anything, but still playing drums. So keep up the good work.
Well, great story.
Yeah, and a lot of times I'll tell you know, sometimes the best musicians have to be the bass drummers because they have to they control the pulse more than any other single instrument in the band.
Oh, sure. Well, my daughter's 9 years old. She's taken up the drums, and she's learning to play the drums. And I keep thinking, man, someday I'm hoping that she plays at the University of Wisconsin.
Well, having had a son who was a drummer, I wish you many hours of loud noise.
There's a lot of that, but it's also a lot of fun. Oh, man. Carolyn O'Claire, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi, good morning. I was just going to see if anyone else remembered. In 69 and 70, when I was on campus, I never got to a football game, but I saw the band almost every Saturday when the sun was shining, working at Children's Hospital. We would push the kids out in their beds in their wheelchairs, and the band would come play for them.
Oh,
that was a great tradition that, unfortunately, we lost when they moved the Children's Hospital way out. But yeah. At the end of every game, Larry, we would march back from the stadium back to the Humanities Building, and the Children's Hospital was right on the way. We would always stop, no matter what the weather would be, and they would wheel the kids out. And it was a very, very touching moment, I think, for the kids in the band. And anybody who was in the band in those years remember that as one of the great traditions we had every Saturday. And we weren't winning many football games, so we found that as one of the great highlights of the day.
Yeah. Oh, that's a great. Thank you, Carol.
Yep. I was the playroom lady, so I was the one charged with pushing the beds out.
Remember it well.
Yeah, I do too. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Carol. Thanks for calling. And Randy in Park Falls. Hi to you. Thank you for calling.
Yeah. Hi. I just wanted to say real quick that I'm not real big into music, but I went to a couple hockey games, and the band is excellent. Just top of the line. Can't say enough about him. And Johnny Cash, the Ring of Fire, fantastic.
Now we know your level of music interest. Now, that's a fun tune.
I'm not a big band person, but I just tell people that you know, it's really something just to hear the band. They're really good. So,
well, appreciate that.
Thank you, Randy. And maybe we can talk a bit about it. The band, parts of the band get to play the hockey, and they play the basketball, men's and women's.
Men's and women's, volleyball.
Volleyball.
And, of course, the football. And it's a busy schedule. We probably do what I would call official events, which is university, probably about 150 a year, which is you know, there's only 365 days, so it's almost every other day we're doing something.
Well, and like a school year is about, what is a school year?
It's 16 weeks each semester.
Yeah, 35 weeks. Yeah. That's, do the math on that. That's like four a week or so. Oh, man. Mike LaCrone, our guest today, director of the UW Marching Band. We have some open lines we can get you on pretty quickly here at 1-800-642-1234. Email us at talk@wpr.org or post on my Facebook page at The Larry Mueller Show. I'm Larry Mueller. Judith Sears Poisson, our producer on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Oh, that music. I've heard that music many, many, many a time at an athletic event when Mike LaCrone and the UW band and... How often is it?
Well, that tune was considered the school song, the fight song, before On Wisconsin was written.
Is that right?
Yeah. And actually, if you find it in old songbooks, it's never called Hot Time in the Old Town Tonight. It's always called the touchdown song. And that's the reason why still to this day, when the team scores a touchdown, we still revert to the tradition and play that first before we play On Wisconsin.
Oh. George in Glendale, thanks for calling. Hi.
Good morning.
Morning.
My son, many years ago, probably in the 20-some-odd years ago, played trumpet in the marching band. He was a mechanical engineer and did his projects away from the campus in the spring semester so he could play in the fall semester in the band. I want to commend Michael and all the people in the band for creating such a wonderful community for students to really have a place where they could go and be productive and do something as a wonderful group when they have to study so hard and they have to work so hard doing employment-related projects, being off campus so many times, so much, and it was just so wonderful to see how he grew and he blossomed, playing trumpet in the marching band, in the community, with the discipline, and all of the hard work that went with it.
George, what was your son's name?
My son's name is Greg.
What's his last name?
Strick, S-T-R-I-C-K.
Oh, I know, I remember that name. But no, thank you for that, the comment, because that's really what we try to have the band be to people. It's nothing, not more, a lot more than just a performing group, but that sense of community. And I tell freshmen when they come in, you know, you come to the first rehearsal and within an hour you're going to have 250 friends right away, which is neat for a big university like this where it's sometimes considered impersonal. We try to get at a much more personal level.
And you were so successful at it, and I'm sure you still are. And
keep working at it.
Thanks, George.
There you go.
Yeah, appreciate it very much. Mike LaCrone with us today to talk about the, and we've been talking a little bit about the band concert. It's April 18th through the 20th at the Kohl Center. Tickets available. Thursday nights are $17 for groups of eight or more. Tickets are normally $22 each. UW students, UW groups of 15 or more, it's $10, I think.
Yep, that's right. We want to try to get the students there because, again, they sort of feel like it's a band concert. We want them to know it's extended fifth quarter, so they can have a lot of fun.
And actually, if you go, I want to we'll mention this again, but for reservations or ticket information, if you go to badgerband.com,
right.
Badgerband.com, or you can phone, it's area code 608-265-4120, 265-4120. I think we got that posted up on my Facebook page, too. So 265-4120, area code 608, if you want to phone and get tickets. And there's probably still tickets available.
Yep, there's still tickets available. And we usually get some return from the athletic department, which will be about now. So there's usually some good tickets pop up. They have to save some seats for those personal boxes that people have, and so we get those released about a couple weeks before the concert.
Very good, Michael in Richland Center. Thank you for calling. Hi.
Hello, hello, Mike from Mike in Richland Center.
Good to talk to you, Mike.
I guess my question is, I've been to so many football games and so many varsity concerts over the years, and from time to time you play Elsa's Procession to the Cathedral, which I always enjoy performing myself, but in a more concert band, classical kind of venue. What is the history on choosing that piece, and I'd just like to hear your mm-hmm. history of performing that piece in a varsity band setting.
All right.
Well, and like a lot of things, it was kind of a happy accident. I think it occurred, it was around 1978, I think, or it was at the time of one of the hockey championships, and we had just won a hockey championship, and, you know, after those wins, the band plays endlessly, and we had kind of run out of tunes to play, so I thought, well, I said to the seniors at that time, one last time we're going to play Elsa's Procession. We happen to have it in the book just because. Uh-huh. I said, we're going to play this tune as a tribute to the seniors, and it winds us up. So we played it, and it was a moment. You know, you have mm-hmm. moments with the band. And then the next year, the next senior class at the last performance said, well, aren't we going to play Elsa's? Because suddenly it was a tradition, you know, after having done it once. And what has happened is it's become one of our traditions. On the last night of the concert, the last thing we play as a tribute to the senior, we always do Elsa's Procession. And it's become a tradition that they ask for. And it got started quite innocently. But it's one of the, you know, it's a great piece to begin with. And for them to, I think it's wonderful for my students to request Wagner.
Absolutely. There you go, Mike. Thanks a lot for calling. That's a wonderful story. Jesse in La Crosse. Hi, thank you for calling.
Oh, it's an absolute pleasure to talk to the honored Michael LaCrone. I just want to thank him, first of all. You are a treasure for the state of Wisconsin and best band in the land. That basically says it all.
You're very kind. Hey, thank you.
Oh, well, I mean, you've seen me grow up through my formative years. I was that little fat kid that always stood to the right of you on the stage at Union South growing up there. And since I haven't been back since my dad passed, but it's absolutely just tremendous to be able to speak with you and truly a treasure for the state of Wisconsin. If anybody hasn't been to the Varsity Show, it is absolutely fantastic and a wonderful time, and I really encourage everyone to come out and see. But my question is, your arrangements to keep up with popular music, and you do a wonderful job with that at the games. Who actually writes? How do you go? What's the process for finding a newer type song and then turning it into something the band can play?
Well, a lot of the ideas come from students. I mean, a few minutes ago, somebody mentioned Ring of Fire. I had a group of students at a hockey game say, you got to play that Johnny Cash Ring of Fire. So they pestered me enough that I finally wrote an arrangement of it, and we played it, and it's become a tradition. I think a lot of students in the band, they probably keep up with popular music better than I do, but they'll bring this idea and try this. And, some things don't work very well for...
Jump around and...
No, we have a version of it, but it's not the same when you don't have the rapper doing it. But as I say, the really good ideas I think of and the really bad ideas the students bring to me.
All right, thanks, Mike. Hey, we want fun, Mike. Thanks.
All right, thanks a lot for calling. Oh, boy. Kevin and Madison, your turn. Hi, Kevin.
Hi, how are you guys doing today?
Great.
Well, I just wanted to mention that back when I was in high school, I remember our band director completely idolized the Wisconsin Marching Band, and most of the music that we played were adaptations for us to play of that. And throughout the years here, I've watched my daughter grow up, and, she's really inspired by it as well. I mean, to say that you're a Wisconsin treasure is kind of cutting it short, in my opinion. That's what you've done for the state and for kids around the state is absolutely amazing.
I appreciate that very much. Thank you.
Oh, definitely. And, it's inspired a lot of local around the area, Madison, especially marching bands. Like my daughter's been in Sound of Sun Prairie for years now.
And, good band.
It's always nice to see them looking forward to, attending the UW and actually being a part of your band. So it's an inspiration to, have parents see their kids, listening to the same types of music and things that they did when they were kids and playing, actually. So I just wanted to congratulate you on that and, know that everybody around the state is, pulling for you and everything, and we really enjoy it.
That's very nice of you. Thank you.
Thank you, Kevin. Thanks very much for calling. I appreciate it. Those are heartfelt, these calls.
That's nice.
Dave in Milwaukee, thank you for calling. Hi.
Hi. Hi, Mike. This is Dave. I played Youp in one of your early bands, you may remember.
I do.
As we were talking, and I thought I'd share a couple of Mike facts with people. One
could be
that,
dangerous.
I picked out the good ones that we can talk about here. Mike's up on a pedestal for all of us, for all the things he's done. But way back when I was first in the band, Mike actually used to play basketball with us in pickup games. And that was a good time. He was one of the guys, if I can say that.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't do that anymore. Do you ever get out there anymore, Mike, on the basketball court?
It's been a couple of years, but I probably could still take you.
Oh, okay. I'll bring that up at Alumni Day. And then it's really an amazing thing when you first meet Mike on campus of 40,000 students. He doesn't forget your name. And I actually read an article about how it's just I don't know if it's a talent you have or whatever it is, but it's pretty neat to have somebody remember a little freshman's name on a campus of 40,000 people when you first meet the guy. So that was always a nice thing, too. And lastly, one of my best memories of the band is we used to play at a holiday basketball tournament in Milwaukee, in which we'd invariably end up playing Marquette, and the rivalry was even
remember
more
it well.
Yes.
Then.
Put on our striped jackets, go down there, and our band could really smoke the tunes. And, of course, we always ended up losing to Al McGuire's group, but it was a great time.
Al was always very nice to us, but he always won, so I guess he could afford to be nice.
we were at that game, you and me and us other guys, when he stood on the table after that one
right.
event. There's pictures of that. So, but I wanted to wish you luck with this year's concert, and I hope to get there. And many more after that. Who knows?
Hope to see you there, Dave.
Thanks, Dave. Thank you very much for calling. Mike LaCrone, our guest today. We're talking about the band concert for the UW the concert, again, just keep bringing this up. It's Saturday, Thursday through Saturday, and that's Thursday, April 18th through Saturday, April 20th at the Kohl Center in Madison. You can get tickets by going to badgerband.com. That's badgerband.com, or you can phone 608-265-4120, 608-265-4120. And we have links on my Facebook page at the Larry Mueller Show in case you didn't get that down. Joe and Madison.
Mike, I was a band director in Monroe, and
I know who you are.
one of my kids came up here to play baritone, and he was the quarterback on the football team. He was the point guard on the basketball team when he was in high school. He called his dad, who was a football coach, after he'd been here for a week, and said, football practices were nothing like this. And on a personal note, I will never forget the heart and compassion you had when I was there and I found out my brother was dying, and you said, what are you doing here? Make a plane reservation and get out there and see him.
No.
And I'll never forget that as long as I live, and I still tell people about it.
Well,
Mike, I God bless you, and this is one of those really super people that I get a chance that I'm lucky enough to meet in my life.
Well, thank you so much, Joe. I appreciate that.
Oh, Joe, thank you very much. Another very heartfelt comment directed at Mike Lacrone, our guest today, Chris in Cooksville. We are turning to you next. Hi, Chris.
Oh, good morning. Thanks for the nice program.
You bet.
My dad played sousaphone, I think, in the university band well before Lacrone's era.
Some people think there was no before.
And I started out playing flute, and I was the only boy in the class. I really didn't care for that. Moved on to baritone and mistakenly blew into a tuba after band was over, and my teacher took me to the side and said, you're coming in after class tonight. I'll punish you. He made me play tuba for an hour. I didn't know how to play tuba, but he made me sit at that tuba that I blew on as a punishment, and I grew to become a tuba player. And played in the Milwaukee Symphonic Orchestra after high school. And carried on. I still own a tuba all these many, many years later. But I moved to Madison in 69, and my first event I went to apparently was your first event. Of course, I didn't know any different. I thought it was terrific. I own a business a block away, foreign car specialist on Regent Street, and park cars for the game. And the tubas come marching through the taverns in the area. That's always a highlight for me. Every year I take pictures of it and send it to the people I like to know. You've been a real inspiration. The band, the tuba. I'm stuck with tubas. I just tend to like them.
Somebody has to.
Your phones and all.
Yeah. Well, you've always had fun with the tuba players.
Right. Yeah, they're in their own atmosphere, so to speak, which is kind of fun. And I had a son who was a tuba player in the band. I have a grandson who was a tuba player. I had a granddaughter who was a tuba player, so it's not like I feel like I've overlooked it. But we have a lot of fun together, as I said, they sort of have their own clan, and that's okay with me.
Thank you very much, Chris, for calling. I appreciate it.
I'm glad you allow them to play on their own because they are kind of like a clan to themselves. The Bray sets them off separate from the rest, and they look to have the freedom that you'd wish they would have.
Yeah.
Do what they like.
Well, it's not totally that kind of freedom, but you know, it's sort of planned. I guess you'd say anarchy.
Thanks, Chris. Stephen in Hendersonville, Tennessee.
Wow,
that right?
Hi, good morning. Yes, originally from Maguanago.
Ah, okay.
But I live here in this Nashville area, and. The story I have, I was my wife and I were checking my son Ryan into Madison his freshman year, and we were at the dorms, I don't remember exactly, but near the lake. And as we're checking in, I hear these people yelling and hollering and some guy with a megaphone hollering. And I'm going, what in the world? And then every once in a while, a little bit of music. And so I walk around the corner from the building, and here is Mike up in the stand, you know, directing the band, practicing already. And we were, like I said, we're just checking in, my son. So we sat there after we checked him in and watched him go through, put the, all the kids through their paces. So it's that was fantastic. And I've been at your show probably, let's see, over the last 4 years. It's always a blast. And my son still lives in Oconomowoc, and he called me this morning to say, hey, you got to hear who's on the radio this morning. I'm listening to a podcast.
That's great. Stephen, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. Wow. I'm telling you, they're coming out of the woodwork here. Oh, that's a great story. Stephen Madison, hi.
Hey, how's it going? Hey, first of all, I want to say the Wisconsin band is the best marching band in the world. Other bands I've seen, who I won't mention, kind of walk. I love the style. I grew up in Whitewater. I went to Madison here. It's the greatest marching band in the world. I'm not kidding. And a friend of mine, I don't know if you know Bill Metzdorf.
Sure. Both Metzdorf boys, I know.
Yeah, his brother, too. And, Bill and I went to high school, same grade and everything. But, I remember he and I one time went down. This was after he'd graduated. We went down to the Hall of Fame Bowl before it became the Outback Bowl when we beat Duke down there.
Right. Mm-hmm.
And after the game, the fifth quarter started, and I swear there was, I think there was like 60,000 in attendance, and there was like literally 30,000 Wisconsin fans. And it started, and this young woman from UW, from University of Florida, came over to me. She said, "Does this happen after all your games?" And I was just like, "You sure do?" She said, "This is fantastic." She says, "We don't do this where I go to school." And the last thing I was going to say is, I was lucky enough to finally, I've been to Badger games, but I got season tickets. I sit in section Z2 when they enclose the end there. And I tell you, I do not miss you coming in before every game, because it's one of the few things that still gives me goosebumps. When you guys come in, when the drums come in and the tubas, and then when you guys come roaring in like that, it's just like, and then coming down the field playing on Wisconsin. I mean, everybody just, goes nuts. So, I mean, yeah, you are a treasure. It's wonderful. So
that moment still gets me too, Steve. That's a great moment, you know, every Saturday for me.
So thanks for the memories and on Wisconsin.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you so much. Joe, a listener, wondered if will the concert eventually be shown on Wisconsin Public Television?
Yes, I think they've scheduled it to the first showing. I think it's May the 4th.
Okay.
I think they have Saturday night, May the 4th. So they do an edited version of it. So what you need to do is buy your ticket, see the whole thing, and then relive your memories on Wisconsin Public Television.
Yeah, I've watched it in the past on television, but you see it in person. I mean, there's no substitution for seeing it in person.
No, we try to utilize the full dimensions of the Kohl Center. And in television, you bring your focus into a specific thing, but we try to use the entire length and breadth of the Kohl Center.
Absolutely. Marlo in Viroqua, hi, thanks for calling.
I'm going to give you a little bit of ancient history.
Okay.
I was in the band in 1946 and 7. And Professor Ray Dvorak, I don't want to take any wind out of Mike's sails, but Professor Ray Dvorak had an outstanding band. We were the top band in the country back in those days, if I remember right.
He was one of the pioneers, one of the great band directors.
I played a cornet in high school, my little high school down in Racine County. I wasn't real good. When I got to Madison, we either had to take ROTC or we could be in the band. And so I ended up being in the band, and Professor Dvorak says, "I don't need any more cornetists." And, of course, I think he knew I wasn't very good. Because I'll switch you over. He said, would you like to play an E-flat upright bass? I never heard of it. But the fingering was the same, and I worked on it, and he gave me personal lessons, and I played the E flat upright bass in the marching band for 2 years, I guess, and had a great time. It was a great band way back then. Wisconsin's band tradition didn't start with Mike.
I agree with that. In fact, there was even a guy before Ray named Edmund Murphy who really kind of got the band going the way it is now. And then Ray came in and brought a great sense of showmanship and musicianship to it. Now, as I said earlier, he's one of my great mentors, and I have nothing but the greatest regard for what he did here.
Thank you, Marlo. Appreciate it very, very much. So back in the 40s. How about Steven Sun Prairie? Hi,
hey,
Steve.
Good morning.
Hi.
Mike, I wanted to thank you very much for being my alarm clock at the end of the football games back in the Coda era. I would be asleep up in the balcony and the band would play, and I hope to get up. Time to go now. The other thing I wanted to find out was, I took your big band course way back when. Do you still teach that?
I still do. I still get a big kick out of doing it. Yeah, I still I have a couple other courses similar to that that I still teach, but it's something that I do usually in the fall of the year. It gives me a chance to do something else besides just marching band all the time.
Well, that was the most fun course I took in school, also the most expensive, because every time you'd bring out a record and play it, I'd run down to the university bookstore and buy it.
I increased your musical taste. That's good.
Steve, thank you so much for calling. Appreciate your call. So many good, great calls here today. And, Mike, it's always a pleasure.
It's always my pleasure. It's always fun to come here, and you keep things going pretty easy for me.
Well, I really appreciate it. You do a wonderful job, and that concert is not to be missed. 2013 Varsity Band Concert, 7:30 p.m. Thursday through Saturday, April 18th through the 20th at the Cold Center. For tickets, you can go online to badgerband.com. That's badgerband.com. Or you can phone for tickets, too, at 608-265-4120. It's 608-265-4120. And I'm looking forward to the concert.
So am I.
Thanks, Mike.
You bet.
Mike LaCrone, our guest here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. Let's go out with a little music here. So we got, have I got that going? Here we go. We'll go out with a little music. Gonna hear that song, I'll bet. Almost bet anything at the concert. There we go. Oh, great. Great to have him with us. And certainly he's going to be back. We're going to have him again at some time. And listening to the band, let alone marching in it, I probably work up a little appetite. Coming up, we have two great UW Extension nutritionists joining us, and they're going to talk with us about how to get the most nutrition for your dollar. I hope you'll stay tuned right here on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.